Please turn in your copy of the scriptures to the New Testament, to the book of Matthew. Our reading today is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. This is one of Jesus' kingdom parables. Toward the end of Matthew, he spends a little bit of time explaining to his disciples what the kingdom of God is like. And in the previous parable, at the beginning of chapter 25, he speaks of the parable of the 10 virgins, and it speaks of waiting on the kingdom of God to appear. And he speaks of them having oil in their lamps, or faith, and they wait for the king to come. Today's passage is the parable of the talents. It's not a message about waiting, but working. And so we get what is the kingdom-like stories in chapter 25 of Matthew. And so we look at the parable of the talents today as we consider why our church must be stewards. So let us hear God's word together from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. This is Jesus speaking, and he's speaking of the kingdom of heaven. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and yet another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with him, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made you 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I have not scattered any seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, into that place where there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth.'" Amen. This is God's holy and inspired word. Let us pray together and ask for God's grace and mercy that we might hear and receive it. Our great God, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. You speak and the world comes into existence. You speak and your powerful word upholds all that you have made. You speak and new life the dead receive. You speak and the wind and the waves die down. You speak into our hearts through the preaching of the word. And so we ask now that our minds and our hearts and our hands might be willing and ready and able to hear and receive your word, that we might leave this place thinking and feeling and ready to do all that you ask, that we might accomplish your holy ends for your glory and the good of our neighbors. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our great Savior. Amen. Yesterday, there was a headline in the local news that a man working in a recycling factory was taking apart an old television that had been sent to be recycled. And inside that television, he found a pile of cash. And it amounted to $100,000. It was in stacks of 50s. And so the man, being a good, honest man, reported it to those in authority over him. They tracked down the owner of the television, and what they found out was that About 30 years ago, a man had stashed this money, this $100,000, into the console of his television. Now, in my mind, I'm picturing that it was one of those console televisions in a cabinet that sat on the floor. Many of you remember from days gone by. Nowadays, we look up at TVs. It used to be that we looked down at them. How our necks have been strained over the years. But inside this television was $100,000 that this man had put inside a cash box. And his intent was that it would stay there safely until someday his family might inherit it. Well, as the story goes in the news, this man was glad to receive back his $100,000 that he had departed with some 30 years ago. He had forgotten it. He had given the TV to a friend. That friend had now sent the television to be recycled. $100,000 is quite a chunk of change. And you think about 30 years ago, that would be sometime in the mid-1980s when that man stashed it. You figure it was in the 60s and 70s that he began to accumulate and save that money. It's interesting to think about what we would have done if we were in his shoes. This man took real money, real cash, and he did not put it in the bank or inside some safe deposit box where it might be safe from danger or fire. No, he put it in a rather dangerous place, inside a television where it gets hot, where there are wires and fires can be caused. But also, he didn't make that money work for him. You think about what that money would be worth now, 30 to 35 years later, at just a few percent interest. His money could have grown. It's a good way to think about this story of the parable of the talents. The story goes like this. A man is about to leave to a foreign country for some time, and he brings a couple of his household servants into him and says, I'm going to leave, and I'm going to, while I'm gone, entrust you with my wealth. And so to one he gives 5 talents, to another 2, and yet another he gives 1 talent. And he expects that upon his return, they will have done something to make a return on his money. Now, understand that a talent was an amount of money. It was a weight, in fact. But a talent was an amount of money in biblical times which would have taken a lifetime for most people to earn. And so you can imagine that the 1 talent, the 2 talents, the 5 talents was a great sum of money. It was a great resource that could have been invested and grown and would have materialized into something greater if it had been put to work. Well, at once, 2 of the servants go out and make a return on their money. The one who had received 5 talents turns it into 10. The one who received 2 turns it into 4. But one digs a hole and he hides it. And the master returns after some time. The one who has 5 talents shows him that he has 10. The one that had 2 shows him that he has 4. And there's this 3rd servant. He says, I know that you're a hard man. You understand he's accusing him. He's saying to a master something that somebody with good, decent sense would not do. You're a hard man. You reap where you do not sow. You gather where you've scattered no seed. And I'm afraid of you. And so my wife and I were watching TV one night, he says to the master. And we thought it would be a great idea to take the money you've given us and hide it in our TV. You think that's what he said? But it's the same principle. He took good money and did nothing with it and had nothing to show in return. And what is God saying to us in this passage? Well, he's saying to us, put it in our modern terms, some of you are given $5 million. Some are given $2 million. Some are given $1 million. It's a talent. It's a gift, a stewardship from God. And he means for us to take whatever is given to us. And it's not just financial, it's in our spiritual gifts, our abilities to serve him and his kingdom and his church. But he gives to us differing gifts, each according to our ability. Some 5, some 2, some 1. And he gives us those talents, not that we will hold them and hide them, but that we will invest in them and make the most of them in order to produce for the kingdom of Almighty God. The Apostle Paul reminds us in his letter to the Corinthians that it is required of stewards to be found faithful. It is required of those who are given a stewardship when the return is requested of us by our Master, that we be found faithful, that we will have done something responsible with what has been entrusted to us. And that can be our faith. It can be our family. It can be our finances. As a church, it can be our facility. It can be the faces we see and the people we must take care of. But God entrusts to us many gifts and graces, and we are called not to hold them or to hide them, but to invest and to make the most use of them for the kingdom of Almighty God. It is required of stewards to be found faithful. And for a few moments, I want us to consider how we are stewards of our faith, of our finances, of our facility, of the faces or the people who are here in our church, how we are stewards of our family of God. You see, Jesus has entrusted to us gifts. He's entrusted to us talents. He's entrusted to us gifts and graces that we might serve Him for His glory and others for their eternal good. Every one of us has different abilities. Every one of us has the opportunity to give of our finances, and our resources are all varied and different. We have different spiritual gifts. We have different abilities. Some are small, some are great, some are somewhere in between. And as the body works together in unity, what a wonderful and beautiful thing that is. This weekend, my family was able to attend the North Carolina Symphony, and we got there early enough to hear the orchestra tuning up. I don't know how many instruments or players there were. Just say there were 100. And before the performance began, all 100 were playing their instruments. And they were not playing off the same song sheet. They were tuning. They were fiddling. They were messing with their instruments to get accustomed to it, to get the wind in the pipes and the bow on the strings accurately. And they made all sorts of different sounds. But what they were doing was getting ready to play. And when they played together off the same song sheet, it made beautiful music. It made music that has been timeless and classic for centuries now. There was one particular piece, though, that was played last night. It was written in the modern era. It was written by a young man who was born in the 1980s. It was a very postmodern piece. And it broke every single rule, at least the rules I think of when I hear music. Music ought to have unity. It ought to move together. It ought to make sounds and noises and music that moves together to a certain point. Well, this music was different. Now, I can't speak on musical terms very well, but as the conductor said, some of it's in sevens and some's in threes, some's in fives. And as you listen to this piece of music, you realize there are a lot of nice sounds, but they're not playing together. And we live in a postmodern world where we like to do what we like to do the way we like to do it. And rarely do we like to serve together. But God calls His people as stewards to work together in unity, to serve together as one. And when we do, we make beautiful music. And so if it is required of us as stewards to be found faithful as the church of God, what will that look like as a church? Well, we'll share our faith. We are entrusted with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are entrusted with the gospel. And we must make sure that the gospel on this earth is preserved, that we keep it pure and entire, that we proclaim it, that we declare it, and that we do not alter it or change it, and that when we hear it in its adulterated and impure forms, we correct it. But it is our job as stewards of the gospel to proclaim our faith to a hurting and dying world. We're also to take care of our finances. As a church, we are stewards of a good number of financial resources. And it's our job to be faithful. It's our job to make sure we spend them well, to raise them well, to receive them well, and to steward them in a way that gives us a healthy financial picture. It's good for us to take care of our facility. We have a wonderful building that this church has owned now for over 50 years. What a wonderful location. What a beautiful place. It's been well cared for over the years. We have some things upcoming in the years to come we must take care of. But God has given us this building as a place where we might gather, where we might learn, and where we might worship. It's where the home life of First ARP Church takes place. And so we must take care of our facility. But what about the faces? What about the people around us? We are stewards over one another's gifts and graces. And we ought to encourage one another to use our gifts to serve for God's glory, as well as to serve for the good of those in our congregation. If we have gifts, we ought to use them. If we have gifts, we ought to develop them. If we have gifts, we ought to use them for the glory of God and good of others. If we see gifts and graces in others, we ought to encourage them, to nurture them and to use them and to bring them along. After all, as we said a few weeks ago, in our ministry of discipleship, one of the most important aspects of discipleship, apart from knowing God and knowing ourselves, is the church is gathered and equipped to do the work of the ministry. And so one of our great stewardships is that we make sure everybody is played in position. Everybody is put to work according to their skills and abilities. Everybody has a useful place in the kingdom here in our local church. We also have the stewardship of the family. And we've spoken of this in different ways in the weeks past. We've spoken of our obligation as a family to worship together, to learn together. Last week, to be merciful towards those in the household of God. But we have a stewardship to hold the family of God together. The book of Hebrews says that we should encourage one another while it is still today, while Jesus has tarried. We have to encourage one another to be together. Other places in the Bible that say that as far as possible with us, we ought to be at peace with all men. And so sometimes in the family of God, just as in your families at home, we have little squabbles. We have times where we get upset with each other. We may not understand each other. We have little tussles and tiffs. And so just like in the home, in the church also, we must nurture the family relationship. And we must go to the scripture and say, what is good and right and true? We must speak to one another when we've offended each other. We must repent when necessary. And as Jesus has granted us forgiveness, we must quickly grant that to others in the family of Almighty God. There are many different things we could speak of in order to understand our stewardship. But just think of these: faith and finances, facility, faces, and church family. That's a lot to take care of. And we have missions, we have outreach, we have all sorts of other things we could speak of. But simply put, God has given us a stewardship, and He expects us to be industrious for the gospel. He expects us to labor hard in His kingdom, giving of our time and our talents and our resources, that we might serve the King of Kings and His children on earth for their good and for His glory. So what is our position as a church? What is your position as an individual? Are you making the most of what God has entrusted to you? Do you even know what God has entrusted to you? Or maybe you know what God has entrusted and you're busy serving the kingdom. Or have you buried your talent, saying, I know my master, he's a tough one. He's a judging one. He's an avenging one, and so I'll bury the talent and return what is his without any gain or any loss. You see, in the story of the parable of the talents, you may not catch it in your English translations of the Bible, but it speaks of the first servant. When he hears of his master's return, it's as if he runs to him and says, look, master, you gave me 5 talents, and here are 10. I've earned, I've grown, I've stretched, I've labored, and look at what I have to show. He was excited. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have the lazy servant, the unwilling servant who says, I buried it because, quite frankly, master, you're a big jerk, and I'm afraid of you. What's our position? You see, friends, we have to understand that in Christ Jesus, we have been saved and set apart to serve the kingdom and to serve the King. And we have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ and given a stewardship. It's an obligation that we must fulfill. Now, you know how it is when the master is away. What do we say? When the cat is away, the mice will play. You know how it is when you were growing up at home. When mom and dad were gone, it was party, party, fun, fun. But when you heard the car cutting through the gravel driveway, you said, quick, we must clean up. Well, in this story, And in reality, we do not know when the Master will return. We will not get a warning of Jesus' return. It is imminent. Even Jesus says, I don't know the day or the hour the Father will send me. And so we don't have the opportunity to scramble and to tidy up and to go take our talents and make them work. God will come at any moment of any day, and we must give an account to Him. He will come and settle accounts. Did you notice the adjectives that are used of the servants? The one who made five, the one who took five and made ten, the one who had two and made four. God said to him, the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. But did you catch the adjectives that were used towards the other servant who did nothing? It says, you wicked and slothful servant. Which adjectives would we like God to use about us? Wicked and slothful? Lazy? Not working for the kingdom? Or do we desire to hear well done, good and faithful, hardworking, laboring for the kingdom, industrious for the sake of the gospel, building the church at all costs? Which would we like to hear? You know, very often we look back on our lives and we say, we should have, we would have, and we could have. And thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, who forgives us of all our sins, and He gives us the chance for do-overs. He gives us the chance to start again. And so let me encourage you, let me challenge you, let me exhort you to take some time today and say, where am I serving the King? We have different gifts. We have different abilities. We're all at different ages and stages in life, and so we don't need to guilt ourselves into something that is not true. But ask God by His Holy Spirit to reveal to you through His Word or through the encouragement of others what you are good at and what position you might play in God's kingdom. For God has called us to be stewards of His church, stewards of one another, stewards of His kingdom. And we must remember it is required of stewards to be found faithful. And may that be so. Let us pray together. Our great God, we come before You this day, and we stand in awe of all that You have done for us. You make us, You take care of us, and You redeem us. And You have set us apart for Your glory and for the good of our neighbor, that we might serve You and others in Your kingdom. And we thank You that You've not only redeemed us through Jesus' blood, but through Jesus' gifts to men. You've given us all gifts and abilities, talents, a stewardship. You've given us collectively a stewardship here to bear the light of the gospel in this place. Oh, Lord, make us faithful. Give us minds and hearts and hands that desire to serve Your kingdom, to labor hard in Your vineyard, and to be industrious for the sake of the gospel. Lord, may our faith be alive. May our zeal be strong. And may our work be not for works of righteousness, but may it be for the work of the kingdom, in order that more men and women and boys and girls may come to faith in Jesus and come to saving knowledge of Him and worship Him both in this life and the life that is to come. And we ask it in the strong and powerful and mighty name of Jesus, our Redeemer. Amen.